Thank you, Cole, for that scripture reading. Good morning. Thank you for a wonderfully done Lord's Supper service, Brother Hafer. I appreciate that. And also, I'm very appreciative of David Dudley's words to start off our service. I thought, I think the service has been beautiful so far. Thank you, Ron, for the song leading and for the prayers that we've had. One thing about summer is that a lot of people, you know, everyone has busy summers and a lot of people are gone and people are traveling at different times. Right now, it looks like, I know we have some people who are gone, but it looks like we have a lot of people who are in town right now, and that's wonderful to look out and to see. And I want to thank every one of you for your attendance here this morning. And also, if you are a guest, thank you so much for being here. We would love for you to stick around and for us to get to talk to you a little bit and get to meet you. Thank you for the honor of worshiping with us this morning. Sight is a tricky thing. There are sometimes you see things that are pretty incredible. There are sometimes you see things that you don't want to see. And there are also things that happen all around us that you cannot see. Like even physical things, like whether maybe they're microscopic in size, and so our eyes just aren't designed to see those things, or certain types of light, like infrared light or ultraviolet rays. There are certain types of actual light in colors that just our eyes don't pick up, and it's kind of an interesting thing to think that there are real colors that our eyes don't see, that there are real objects that exist that just are invisible to our eyes. But then there are other things that we do see. There are times that we go out of our way to see things. Have you noticed the decorations around the church building? Those are in honor and in preparation for VBS, which is one of my favorite things that we do as a congregation. And there have been a lot of people who've done some really good work to make this a wonderful VBS. And so I ask you to pray for it and support it as much as you can. VBS is awesome. And one of the things that you may have noticed if you've looked at the decorations is a lot of them deal with the circus, right? The circus is something you go to see some wild stuff that you don't see outside of circuses. You go to a circus because you want to see something that you don't get to see in your ordinary life. There's all kinds of wild things that take place at circuses, or so I hear. I actually don't think I've ever been to a circus, so everything I'm saying is just what I've seen on TV. But I'm thinking of the Greatest Showman. You know, but there's some crazy things that happen at circuses that you don't get to see as a normal part of your everyday life, and that's one of the reasons people go to the circus. You might see someone, you might think of tight ropes, and you might think of people doing acrobatic dives into water, or you might think of animals that are there, or people with abnormalities, or you might think of all these things. One thing that you see at a circus, or traditionally, is extreme feats of strength in exercised in ways that are uncommon that people can show off. Or you might see even sometimes things with wild animals, lions and such, a lion tamer who can go and do some pretty incredible things that you might on your own want to avoid, but you have people there who are skilled at doing that type of thing. You might see people doing some incredible things with fire and conjuring fire and all of that. Well, for this VBS, we're going to focus on a couple of people throughout the VBS that have done each of those things. We're talking about people who have lived lives where incredible things have taken place, even with fire coming down from heaven, like Elijah with the prophets of Baal, and actually another conflict that he had with a king who was trying to send soldiers to come get him. Several times during the ministry of Elijah, fire came down out of heaven in some pretty profound and incredible ways. You can think of Daniel in the lion's den, who was cast there, and you might think, you know, in a situation like that, that's almost certain death. And yet Daniel was able to survive and spend the night in the lion's den and emerge safe and protected the next day. You might think of others who have done really remarkable things, like Samson, with his incredible feats of strength. And Samson, his strength is demonstrated in a number of ways, whether you're talking about killing a lion that jumped out to attack him with his bare hands and ripping it apart, or he killed just a massive number of Philistines. One time he killed 30 of them because he lost a bet, and he needed 30 pieces of clothing, and so he went and he massacred these Philistines and stole their clothes. And so Samson, by the way, is not always a great guy, but Samson, he killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. He got 300 jackals or foxes, tied them together by their tails, lit them on fire, and sent them through the grain fields of the Philistines to destroy their grain. At the end of his life, he ended up knocking over massive pillars that people were on, and the towers came crumbling down, and killed more in that day than he had killed during all of the battles. He also killed himself in that, which I think when you talk about these people, you're seeing some incredible things that you do not see in ordinary life. I don't see many Samsons walking around. I don't see many people doing what Elijah did, and I don't see many people doing what Daniel did. And yet, God has acted throughout history and has acted in Scripture in ways where profound and remarkable things have taken place that we still learn from and appreciate and can enjoy hearing today. I want you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Because some of the things that we've just been talking about, are all going to kind of come together right here in this passage. Because if you're looking for a place in the Bible where Samson, Elijah, and Daniel all meet, there is one. And it's in Hebrews chapter 11. Either explicitly by name or simply by reference to some of the incredible things that they had done. But these three come together in this passage. And if you remember us talking about sight, and talking about seeing incredible things. Could you imagine seeing what Samson did? I mean, could you imagine actually being there and seeing some of what took place in the days of Samson, or Elijah, or even Daniel in the lion's den? The incredible things to see. And yet, as I started off by saying, there are a lot of things that we don't see. There are realities all around us that are simply invisible to us. The book of Hebrews, particularly chapter 11, contains this list, kind of starting with the beginning of the Old Testament, and the author of Hebrews just starts walking through the Old Testament, interpreting events in the lives of certain righteous people where they acted by faith. And he describes faith in the first verse as conviction of that which is not seen, certainty of that which you hope for, and conviction of that which is not seen. And as he talks about these righteous people who did incredible acts of faithfulness, in every one of those instances, they were acting not based on the incredible thing that they were seeing right in front of them, but they were acting based on that which they did not see. They were acting based on that which was invisible to them. And yet they trusted and they had confidence and conviction of, not because they could see it with their eyes, but because of the God who created all things, because of the God in whom they placed their trust, and the God in whom they had placed their fidelity and obedience. So Hebrews chapter 11 is this incredible chapter of one person after another, starting in Genesis, and he walks through Genesis, he walks through Exodus, he starts getting into the books of Joshua and Judges, and then he eventually just kind of stops, and we're going to talk about this passage in a minute, and says, and so many others. He just briefly summarizes great heroes from the rest of the Old Testament and gives this list of incredible things that they did. Those are things that we, looking back, know about. But prior to those things happening, these are people who, based on sight alone, were facing insurmountable odds. These are people, based on sight alone, would think that they were going to die or lose or be terribly mistreated. These are people, based on sight alone, they haven't seen heaven or the resurrection or God, and yet they lived lives of profound trust and hope in the existence of those things and in the reality of those things. And all of that serves the purpose in Hebrews, not just of calling the readers and calling us to be people of faith, but there's actually an even bigger message that is serving, which is the message of endurance. Faith or faithfulness in the book of Hebrews is an essential part of endurance. It is sometimes hard to be faithful to God. Sometimes it's hard to be a Christian, especially when you're suffering or sacrificing for that which you cannot see. So like in the book of Hebrews, if you look at chapter 10 in verse 32 and following, he says, "But remember the former days when after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of suffering, partly by being made a public spectacle through the reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers in those who were so treated. For you accepted joyfully, for you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourself a better possession and a lasting one." He speaks in there of saying, like, these are people who suffered persecution. They suffered the loss of property. People were put in prison. But they endured that because they had hope and confidence in a greater resurrection, a greater reward, something that they could not yet see, but that they believed and trusted was there. Well, as time goes on, the more you suffer while still not seeing the benefit of it, the harder and harder it is to keep with that. And you can probably think of examples of your own life, of things where it's like, I can't see any possible way that this is in any way leading towards something good. It's like, why is this part of my journey if it's completely arbitrary and there's no value and it's bad? Like, there are a lot of things I think that we can experience like that. And if we're not careful, those types of thoughts can end up causing us not only to question God, but to grow in our frustration, bitterness, and eventually maybe even rejection of God. And I think you're having those types of things happening in the book of Hebrews, to those it's written to. So the Hebrew author is saying, let's back up for a moment and let's remember the need we have to endure through hardship, to rechannel the way that we think about hardship, and to live not based solely on the goodness that we can see right in front of us, but trusting in the God who cannot be seen. And so he says in verse 35 of chapter 10, "Do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward." It's like your confidence through hardship is something that at the end will produce a great reward. Verse 36, "For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised." So there is something that is real and that is vital to our faith that cannot be seen. And yet we are to proceed with confidence, with faithfulness, with conviction, and with endurance, so that when we do receive it, we'll be able to rejoice in all that has happened. So the way that the Hebrew author is going to make this point is he quotes a passage from the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, where if you look at verse 38, he says, "My righteous one shall live by faith." That phrase, by faith, is really important. He's going to give a list, starting in Genesis, of righteous ones who lived by faith. And he'll tell us what they did by faith. In fact, if you look at almost every verse of chapter 11, it starts with that phrase, by faith. Like in verse 3, "By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that that which is seen is not made out of things which are visible." So everything around us which you see, its ultimate origin and reality comes from that which is unseen. That's a pretty strong way to start this list, right? If he's talking about the value of putting your hope in what is unseen, then he starts off by saying, hey, everything that you see exists because of that which is unseen. And that's something you live in every day by faith. Verse 4, "By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. My righteous one will live by faith." That's the quotation that he's basing this on. "God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks." You can keep going down, but notice some of the interesting phrases in, for example, verse 7. "By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen." So Noah had not yet seen the flood that was coming or even evidence of that type of thing. And yet he heard the word of God and he reacted faithfully. It says, "things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household." So he was able to save his household because he acted based on that which was not yet seen. And notice what happens at the end of this verse. He says, "by which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. My righteous one will live by faith. So Noah's an example of this. And he goes through, and we're not going to look at all of these examples, but there are some pretty remarkable pictures of Abraham leaving to go to a home that he had not yet seen. And he did so by faith. Or Moses, look what it says about Moses. Look in verse 24. It says, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So Moses could have grown up in, you know, relative wealth and luxury in Pharaoh's house, but he refused to choose that life. Notice verse 25, choosing rather to endure. Remember how he says, you have need of endurance. Well, he's going to give them many examples of endurance. One of them is Moses right here. Choosing to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ, whom he had not seen, by the way, as greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt. For he was looking to the reward, the unseen reward. Verse 27, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was unseen. So even though he didn't see God, he endured as though he was seeing the one who is unseen. You might not always be able to see the incredible things taking place. You might not always be able to see everything God is doing. You might not be able to see the end result of your endurance or the end result of your faithfulness or the end result of the suffering and the hardships. But Hebrews 11 is calling us to faithful obedience even in and through that which is unseen. When you get to verse 22 or 32, that's where he eventually stops going kind of through each book of the Bible. He gets to Rahab, which is from Joshua, and he eventually says in verse 32, for what more shall I say? This is when you're running out of time in a lesson and you're just going to sum everything up really quickly. He says, for what more shall I say? Time would fail me if I were to tell of Gideon and Barak. And then notice who he mentions here. Samson, who we talked about earlier. Jephthah of David, of Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions. I think that's where Daniel enters into the conversation. He mentions Samson by name. He mentions Daniel as having shut the mouths of lions. Verse 34, quenched the power of fire, which I think might be a reference to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong. That to me sounds a little bit like the very end of Samson's life, when Samson had been made weak because of his hair being cut, and he was weak as he was there, but as his hair grew, he put his trust in God, and in one final act had an incredible feat of strength that outdid anything that he had done before, knocking over entire structures and buildings. But we have here, in weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Makes me think of Elijah and Elisha when he went to Zarephath in Sidon and he stayed with a widow who had lost her son and he raised that son back to life. He laid on the son three times and prayed to God fervently and this child's life was restored. Like each of these examples that he's giving, it comes from a wide range, but you can see in each of these those who had done incredible things to see, like Samson, like Daniel, like Elijah. They're all mentioned here in this summary statement of what it means to endure faithfully, even through that which is unseen, putting your hope and your trust in God to bring about the ultimate reward. And it all gets summed up when you get to chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And this is, we'll read the first three verses. This is where we'll bring our lesson to a close, thinking that all of these examples of faithfulness along the way are building and leading to one ultimate perfect example that we should be following. He says, chapter 12 and verse 1, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, all these people he's just mentioned, those are the witnesses that are surrounding us. He says, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance. Remember, you have need of endurance, is how he starts off the whole conversation. Run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. The idea is that he is the one who has run this race before us and in front of us, and we're following him. He's the trailblazer that we are setting our sights on as we run. He says, Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus himself is one who endured hardship and conflict faithfully to God because he saw the end result. It says in verse 3, for consider him who has endured, that's our key word again, such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Throughout this life, there are some things that we can see. You might be incredible things. You might see some amazing things that are faith-building and things that are helpful and things that instill you with confidence and conviction. But also, remember, a lot of what we do and a lot of what we hold to and a lot of what we endure for is that which is unseen. There are physical things all around us that are unseen. There are spiritual things all around us that are unseen. There are things that have happened in the past that are unseen, and there are things that we're hoping for in the future that are unseen. And the challenge is, through Christ, to put your hope, your confidence, and your faith in Jesus, to follow him, even enduring all things for the sake of Christ, who has led the way for us, in hope that there is something greater, that there is a reward, and that God has not forgiven or forgotten or given up on you. So I don't know what everyone is going through. I know that every person here is probably facing some of your own battles, and I know that every person here is probably enduring some things right now, and I want to encourage you to look at those like David, or like a Daniel, or like a Samson in some ways, or like Elijah, who have endured hardship, endured struggles, and yet in each of those things continued to do acts of service and greatness for the God that we serve. And I want to encourage you, each of you, as you find yourself going through hardships, don't let that deter you or derail you from the ultimate goal, but follow Christ, love him, serve him, and endure all things for him. And if we can help you get your journey started in following Christ this morning, please let it be known. If you want to become a Christian, you can have your sins washed away in baptism, naming Christ as the Lord of your life. Or if you need help in overcoming some of the hardships and the frustrations that maybe have been knocking you off of that course, we would love to help you. You can talk to some of our elders in the library in the back, or you can come and sit on the front row while we stand and as we sing.